thanks for everyone coming here. Yeah, so our today's topic is about the HTML5 web runtime, how competent is your code. So it means that, it means the efficiency or the performance of our web platforms. So, okay, this is the agenda for today's topic. So you can find that we will do some brief introduction, and we will then introduce our methodology and solution about the web platform performance in two levels, one programming level and the library level. And then we will do the detailed introduction about the two levels and give you a summary about that. And we will have a dedicated QA session. Anyway, you can just jump into for any questions if you have. Okay, so you know that in these days we are talking about the developing platform for our mobile device. The most frequently word you will hear is web. So yeah, web platforms is the future for our mobile device. However, one of the critical problems for this is that whether the web applications performance can have the same with the native ones. As you all know that for web application, there is the long code stack than the native ones. So it should be critical to make our web application to catch up with the web native ones for the performance part. So this is our target. Okay, so before we start to talk about the web performance, we can have a look about the code stack for the web applications. So as you can see, any users will interact with the web application or web pages directory. And the web application and our pages are built based on the web platforms, which means the browser or web runtimes. And the web platforms are built on the basic operating systems. So yeah, there will be three different level of performance: programming level performance, and library level, and also the system level. And these two are our focus today. For as you know, that system level performance is not only for web ones, and also for the native ones. So yeah. Okay, so let's start talking about the programming level performance. When we are talking about the web applications performance, we can have a question about that. What is the situation for web applications? As you all know that for native applications, we can find a lot of tools for performance tuning. For example, we can use ICC compiler to optimize our C or C++ code. And we also have returns for hotspot findings. Yeah, but when we are developing web applications, we can find a few similar tools in our communities. So I have to do some search in the internet and get some useful things in this area. One of the tool is named the Google Closure. Yeah, it is a compiler and can reducing your code size, so your web platform can increase the loading speed for your web applications. And another one is the Chrome Profile Tools. Yeah, it's a tool much like the WeTerms, and it can provide the CPU hotspot for your JS code. And we also can find a lot of piece of BKMs for the web application programming.
What's
best known methodology. So it will say that you maybe want to prefer this kind of programming but to another one.
Best known methods.
Yeah. So yeah, this is our solution. Yeah, WAPP, and WAPP named for the web application programming performance. So maybe you will ask that what we can find or what we can get from the WAPP. So our method is here. Firstly, we can have a benchmark suite to measure the performance difference between different web programming styles. And then with this benchmark suite, we can have a set of knowledge about the best programming style in different situations. And then we can apply this knowledge to optimize our web applications. So the typical areas for optimization should be basic JS operations, animations. Yeah, that should be. Okay, so let's take a look about the real findings with WAPP. This is a table about the loop coding, different coding style for loops. So there will be 8 different programming styles. So, and each column is for one platform. This means Chrome netbook. Yeah. And the red ones, all the score are correct on the platforms for different programming styles. And the red ones are the worst ones. Green ones are the best ones for each column. So, for example, let's take a look for the first column here. We can find that the worst one are the war in array. Yeah. So the best one in the array dot for each. Yeah. And this means for this platform, we may want to use this for loop, but avoid to use the array in a Y in array.
Is for each a jQuery?
You mean
the array that for it, it's a protocol overriding by jQuery, right?
Yeah.
It's not a
It's not a native JS application.
It's jQuery, and it's faster?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And we from different platforms, we can find that this one are always a loser. And these three are the winners. So we may want to avoid using these in all platforms. OK. So for the, let's take a look for the array. Any question? Yeah. Okay. So for the array clone, we can find some situation that loop copy is always the worst ones. Yeah. So we may not want to use this if not necessary. So, and the other two are winners for different situations. Yeah. And also, let's take a look at the array clear. So you may ask that, what situation will we use the array clear? You know that sometimes we may want to reuse the array to avoid too much memory consumption. So we may want to reuse some array we used before. So we may want to clear the arrays to be reused. So we have three different kind of programming styles for the array clear, and we can find that this one is the best one for all situations. So you may want to choose this one for your web programming.
Because it's not creating a new object, you have the one below it. It's recreating a new object.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, you may not want to use the other tools. Yeah. Okay. So this one is for DOM operation. You know that yeah, we may want to have lots of DOM operations during web application programming. So yeah, you can find that. The last one, it is from jQuery. Yeah, it's quite worse. You can find this, the score of this and this. These three are all the native JS APIs. So if you want to do some DOM operations, you may not want to use jQuery to do this kind of things to avoid bad performance. So yeah, you may want to choose the append child for the append operation. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's all for the programming level. So Reggie will introduce the library level points. Okay.
So far we were seeing like what is the best programming styles, like Gobind told us few of them. We have more findings, but due to lack of time, we are just giving you few of what we found. So that would be a similar case for the library level as well. In this section, we are using something called Web Runtime Bench, which is going to sample the performance of most of the web platforms based on many common web API features. So as you can see, the Tizen API list is also going to be having some of the its own APIs, and then a combination of W3C, HTML5, and then a lot of Kronos and all of those. So we are just going to start getting started with Tizen, and we thought it would be a good insight to see which are like real common or hotspots where people like to develop these days, and kind of give an overview of how they are obtaining results in some of the popular browsers and operating system combinations. So many of the benchmarks here are internally developed, mainly from Gobind's team and few of his peer teams. And very few you can find are like public ones, easily accessible to everybody. And so we have a combination of all of these. So you can see that the major ones that we are going to see today are like WebGL, and then Canvas 2D, the CSS3, some photo processing benchmarks, and then the local storage file APIs, which are part of the HTML5 specifications. And then we have JavaScript as well. Each of them has its own set of capabilities and features. Though one benchmark can't like cover everything, we try to have 2 to 3 in each category, but we try to show as much results as possible, but there are far more work in progress going on here. So this is to give an idea of what we will be seeing today. Like these are the platforms we considered, like Linux. When we say Linux, we were using an internal MeeGo code base on the netbooks like Gobind mentioned. And then we have Win7 iOS. And this would be some of the browser combinations that we will be seeing today. We used like a dual core netbook platform. And then the Tizen browser is soon going to be mostly a WebKit-based ones. So we think that what we will see here will kind of be projecting what would be the performance in the near future for Tizen as well. And Chromium, we were using the version 16, which is like the latest stable one on Linux. But for Windows, we had 19 available. So we thought we'll use that to make it more competitive for Linux as well. So WebGL, most of you should be familiar, but if not, I'll give a quick intro of what each of these are in every slide. So WebGL is basically web graphics library. It's a JavaScript API, and it's going to be responsible for rendering most of the interactive 3D graphics within any of the compatible browser that you have which supports WebGL. And this benchmark right here, it is actually going to set up something like a 3D Earth, and it's then going to use that as a screen to play a video. In this case, it was a movie trailer, I think. So it's going to implement some features of WebGL, like transformations, composite, all the video and texture as well. And as you can see here, Firefox and Safari are actually missing here in the competition. Firefox actually claims support right from 4.0, but it still seems to be ramping up slowly, and you would probably see somewhere around 0 or 1 frame for such benchmarks, and Safari still doesn't support. So that's the thing here. And the code, Linux code base actually performs quite well with texture and video components, as you can see here. It's the Linux Chromium, yes, Chromium 16, yes. And then next we have Canvas 2D. This again, the it's the Canvas element, part of the HTML specification, and it actually allows for dynamic rendering of 2D and 3D objects and shapes and bitmap images within the browser. So the benchmark that we have here is going to basically stress on the rendering aspect. So it's more like an earth that kind of renders time over time. And this also is going to represent all of the transformation, some of the draw images, coloring styles, and then composite features as well. Similar to the previous case, you can see that Firefox and Safari, are still not here for the competition, since I don't think they still have the Canvas element properly embedded. So you might not be able to run such benchmarks in those browsers yet. But with the existing Windows and Linux, you can see that the combination of Linux and Chromium actually goes up to around 11 frames per second. Pretty close to the Windows performance. It's a good thing. And it's one of the important elements that would be used in most of the development cases. So it's good to see that Linux is performing as well as Windows. Next, we have CSS3. As you might all know, this is the cascading style sheet. And CSS3 became all important after 2, mainly because it's going to have very good presentation semantics. Like, it started having separate module descriptions versus the CSS2, which had like a one big description for all the styling concepts. And each module in CS3 is capable of extending its features. And it also supports backward compatibility. So for CSS3, we have 2 kinds of benchmarks. Like, you can see the Arch Shadow and Crazy Cube. So the Crazy Cube right here, it's actually a 3D model that you saw in the previous screen, which is kind of going to rotate the cube in 3D space. And the Arch Shadow that you see right here, it's the 2D model, and it's going to do all of the 2D rotation, transformation, and kind of shading around that. So it's kind of, yeah, yes. It's not actual 3D, but it's simulated. Yeah. So with the CSS3, again, Firefox seems to be missing, and it's still slowly ramping up. But Safari, we are at least happy to see it here. But still, I don't think it's doing much well with the 3D transformation. So it's just started to getting ramping up on the 2D side. And there is real good scope for optimization right here, given that this is going to be part of the extended HTML5 features, like they mentioned in the previous one of the presentations here. So it's a very basic and common styling. So we need to do a lot more work to get along with Windows and get more competitive. Though for a good start, it's not very bad, as you can see. And with the 3D stuff, it's getting pretty close to what Windows is performing. And with 2D, of course, we still have to optimize some stuff right here. We have used like a combination of platforms, I think. Some are and some are not. Okay, yeah. We can take it offline and we'll give you a list of specifications and versions that we used. So then we have HTML5 photo processing, which is like we have one comprehensive benchmark that is going to have all kinds of photo processing, as you can see. So we had like a slideshow, say, which is going to render pictures as fast as it can over a period of time. We will have like a bulk of 150 pictures, which is going to keep iterating. And then we also test on like the zoom in, zoom out with grayscale and color effects. And there are also some rotation capabilities that are being tested right here. So as you can see, with photo processing, there are actually not major differences in performance. All browsers seem to be performing quite well and decent. And there is nothing to worry about for this on the Linux space as well. And Safari seems to be lagging behind quite a bit in few of the cases, and still not bad. And considering that it's actually on a log scale, because everything is a different metric, and we had to fit it in one graph. And when it was in the range of actually hundreds of thousands, a few thousands were not making a great difference. So we can definitely say that all of them are performing quite well. So this is in terms of milliseconds, right? The time it is taking to process the photographs or display. So when the metric is milliseconds, you need to reduce it as much as possible to have a good performance. So lower your amount of time you take to render, the better. Exactly. And in the previous slides, it was all frames per second. Yes. So the higher number of frames you have, you can process, render, is the better. Well, it's actually a very known fact, but I thought if people are just looking at the slides, they should quickly get an idea. This is actually the it's actually the processing time.
As you are editing the photos,
as it is graying out, coming back to color, zooming in, slowly moving, zooming out, and the time it takes to actually display a picture for you, gray out, rotate it, and things like that. So you should probably be taking as much less time as possible in your OS to do
this.
So.
Benchmark is just gray, changing the grayscale?
Yes, it changes the grayscale as well as it zooms in and zooms out as well,
okay,
in various combinations. Yes.
Attributes.
Yeah. Okay, then we have the HTML5 local storage. I think this and some of the other APIs were also mentioned in the previous presentations. This ensures the storage capabilities, and it's pretty good to see that, the results are looking promising for Linux, and this specifically stresses the HTML5 API, which stores the data locally. And it's going to just sample its access performance. We usually have like read, write, and rewrite of many different lengths of data strings and see how each case is performing. And we have put a sample of just the write here, and we were observing similar results for read and rewrite as well. So the metric that you see here is the average speed of write of each of the different test strings. Next, you have the file API. This again is one of the HTML5 APIs that's being included now in Tizen. So it's for reading local files. As you can see, though with cold read, Linux might look actually being quite slow, but it makes good use of caching, and it's performing quite well when it has to do warm reads, any number of reads after it does the first read. So this benchmark is kind of semi-automatic. So it starts, but it asks the user to input a file. In this case, we used like a 30 MB media file. We tried to have a big file to see like a stable result, but you can try it with any text doc or file, media file, or any kind of file that you want. Right. Yeah. Then we have JavaScript. This is like the most common benchmark. Everybody talks, publishes results, but we thought it should be part of the suite mandatorily, so we had to have it. It tests the core JavaScript languages, as you know, and it wouldn't consider any of the DOM aspects. It's just the core language functionality. And every browser here around and website, like everything supports JavaScript. And this is a typical result page that you would see with SunSpider. And Firefox, as you can see, is really good. It uses its SpiderMonkey. They have been working on their JavaScript over quite a while. iPad used to be really, really bad, but I think they have started getting better recently. And then Chrome, you can see, is also getting quite equivalent to Windows. It's just like probably 200 milliseconds away, and we are quite confident we'll be able to optimize it to get it to that side to Tizen. Chrome uses the V8 compiler, right? The JavaScript compiler, yes. No, SunSpider is the name of a benchmark.
Oh, I see.
Right. It has like, say, like 14 or 15 test suites, each of which is going to, if you look closely, it's going to stress on the 3D morphing. Yeah, a whole list, bunch of JavaScript test cases, core JavaScript test cases. And it's at the end of it going to tell you the time it took to render all of those. So here again, it's like it should take as much less time as possible. So lower is better. That's the result you saw for JavaScript. And that's pretty much what we had today. So to summarize what we had, we were seeing some samples of programming styles to choose which is the right kind of code you might want to use to have good optimized and good performing code. And as you can remember, you should avoid using some few programming style statements that might lead to real bad performance, and use quite a lot of native APIs instead of a lot of third-party ones. With respect to the browser side, this kind of summarizes where we are at with current Linux status. It's giving out a good performance in the areas of WebGL, Canvas 2D, and most of the warm reads, and it's getting equivalent with respect to local storage and photo processing. And we see quite some places and scope for optimizations with respect to JavaScript and CSS3. Again, like I said, it's a lot of work in progress. We are slowly moving into Tizen. There are far more results that we had here. So if you are further interested, please contact us if you want to have a view of the benchmarks that we used to get to these particular programming styles or to get to the functionalities that are supported by the browser and which performs better and things like that. So yeah, hope you liked our presentation. Thank you for your time and interest. Questions? I didn't get your question properly.
So I wonder, what is your final goal?
Our final goals are optimization, but we have to start somewhere to steer these optimizations. Like by using these is where we get to a point of where we can fix the code or change it to make it better performing than any of our other devices. And the next suite actually helps us see where we stand in the competitive market. And say, for example, there are two features that are not yet supported in other prominent browsers around, we wouldn't be worrying too much about it than optimizing something that's performing quite well outside. So this helps us get there. And then with our, again, tools and BKMs, we are then going to optimize on what is wrong in our own system.
I have a question. So in your summary, you recommend against using the third-party library. So in Tizen, so the UI is jQuery mobile. So do you also recommend not to use jQuery-based UI?
Yeah, I think, yeah, these are questions. For example, our summary here for the rules, not using a third-party library for DOM operations for performance target. So, I mean, if on some critical path for performance, we want to suggest to use the libraries with bad performance. We want, so we will suggest to use the native APIs of JS. Yeah, but anyway, on some other, for example, control flow, or some kind of UI creation part, we may suggest to use third-party libraries, yeah. I'm not sure. I think you can ask this one for the Tizen web runtime. Yeah.
Why don't you compare Tizen web runtime with other platforms?
Yeah, you know that we are. This is the just the start of our work, so we have finished the benchmark creation, so we just want to choose some famous browsers as a reference to make sure that our benchmark can show the difference between different web platform combination. So yeah, it's a good question. That yeah, so we will do some work in future to collect the same data on Tizen web runtime, to optimize.
Hi, my question is did you guys consider on optimizing on the dbus, the communication, IPC related stuff? For example, in Android, there is an optimization happened in the kernel for using shared memory for IPC communication, using this binder concept, right? So do we have I mean, thinking going on for the IPC optimization also here? Debus optimization?
Inter-process communication. I don't think we have touched base there. Yeah. We still haven't covered that.
Okay.
I think there were actually a few optimizations with MIGO on that front, and they were being integrated into Tizen. So we tried to have features that kind of boomed over the last year and became much more prominent than the MIGO time. And these are some things that were probably not even covered or completely not optimized. And we tried to leave out some of the native stuff that can be ported.
Okay. I don't know whether it is going to take off.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Are you planning to make your benchmarks available for us to try?
It's a good question. Yeah. You know that it's just a start, so we are on the way to open source our benchmarks. So, yeah.
Where will you announce it?
I'm not sure. Yeah. It's on the way. So.
But, yeah, please. Contact us. We will, definitely give you pointers to use them.
Any more questions?
About the JavaScript engine, you mentioned it's a V8 in Google.
For Chrome, yes.
For Chrome, for Tizen, you mentioned for the JavaScript engine, you use a V8?
No. For Tizen, we don't know yet. Yeah.
Although it's not decided. I hear somebody say it's a JavaScript core. Some people say it's a V8.
It might be V8. We are guessing it should be more of the WebKit and V8 combination. But I think nothing is announced yet, so we will wait for the news.
Okay. And the second question, in your slides, you're talking about HTML5 photo processing. What is the photo processing? Basically, it's the image processing. It's not HTML5.
It's more of the put image and get all the image functions. Like you reset the RGB values of the current image to incremental pointers or grayscale and things like that. But I think Gobind can give more information.
Oh, this is more CSS3 or what is the photo processing in HTML5 context?
Yeah, you know that for traditional web pages, we will have some images in the web in the pages. So we may want to do some image change, image scoring, and scaling, and such kind of also the CSS3 transformation from one image to another one. So that's for the benchmark.
But the algorithm is implemented in JavaScript, I take it.
Yeah.
Do the pixel processing that you're testing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it in the context of JavaScript? It's not CSS3 or something? What is the context? I know the functionality you're testing, but what is
The language in which the problem was implemented?
Is right with the JS, and we also have some CS, for example, CS3 transform code in the CS3 part.
Well, Grace, thanks again. Appreciate for your speech.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great.